India featured prominently in the headlines last week when one of the men who gang-raped and killed a young student in 2012 was released. Protests at the release and a change in the legislation around juvenile prosecution kept the country firmly in the news. Our global check-in today takes us to the subcontinent, where we speak to Hindal Sengupta, a writer, journalist and editor-at-large of Fortune India. Welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Thanks very much. Delighted to be here.
Hindal Sengupta, it's been more than a week since the release of one of the gang rapists involved in that attack. Have there been any updates on him? He's notorious, so has he had to go into hiding?
Well, very little information is available about the whereabouts of this particular man, though there is, of course, a lot of attention on this case. Even though the authorities are keeping his whereabouts extremely secret, the bigger point that's really tearing apart Indian society and debate is, what about our juvenile laws and how do we correct them so that such incidents don't happen? Very recently, there's been another case where a so-called juvenile has committed a ghastly rape and murder again, and, within days before they were going to become an adult. And obviously there's something wrong with our laws which cannot deal with such incidences. And there's a lot of debate in the legal community, in the social work community, and among politicians and journalists on how to fix this problem. There isn't one answer that's emerging at the moment. There is furious debate in the country and a lot of anger, especially because the victims, the girls or the women who have got murdered or raped by these men, are extremely angry and they have really furiously protested to all lawmakers. So this debate is not going to end because India, as you know, has one of the highest rates of violence against women in the world. So this is not going to end in a hurry and this debate is not going to end in a hurry. But the good news is that this debate will now hog headlines until the law changes in some significant way. And there is widespread anticipation that in the next few years, some changes in the law would be brought in.
And I understand very recently it was announced that those changes to toughen the laws around sex crimes will be fast-tracked. How did society respond to that announcement?
I think for a very long time, such crimes and justice for such crimes were barely even spoken of in India. What has changed dramatically, and I think our country has gone through an inflection point as far as that is concerned, that no such crime can be hidden anymore. They are furiously on top of headlines whenever they happen, and there is enormous, enormous pressure from civil society, all of us. I mean, I'm one of the people who protested outside Parliament for days in the winter cold when this incident first happened, the gang rape that you mentioned first happened, and we protested for days outside Parliament. Now, we are extremely certain that we will not let these incidents die down and we will push for change and there will be little option for politicians but to give the larger civil society that much required change.
Is there much opposition to tightening the laws around sex crimes from some parts of society and where does that come from? Because the protests against this kind of criminal activity have been so vocal. Where does the opposition to changing the sex crime laws come from?
Well, there is some concern that, if you bring down the juvenile law, then the age in those laws, they may be in some senses misused. But increasingly, that concern is being overwhelmed by a much, much greater and I believe far more pertinent concern about the state of sexual violence against women in our country, which is so rampant, so widespread, that it has taken almost, an extremely scary proportions. And I think those concerns that some of these laws may be misused are valid concerns. I do not dismiss them, but they're increasingly smaller concerns compared to the absolutely unavoidable scenario that's emerging in front of us, that we have one of the highest levels of sex crimes in the world and we have to do something about it.
Another big story in India right now is the apparently impromptu visit of the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Pakistan. Was this completely off the cuff?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the funny thing about this is that the foreign secretaries of the two countries were essentially spending a quiet holiday when this happened, when news broke that the prime minister had essentially decided to take up an invitation by his Pakistani counterpart and decided to drop by Pakistan, including the information that floated in that the Pakistani foreign minister was supposedly playing a leisurely afternoon round of golf when news broke that the Indian prime minister was dropping in, so to speak. So this caused, as you would probably understand, a lot of flurry in the subcontinent. It's very good news. As far as all of us are concerned, it's extremely good news and positive news because, as you know, for a long time after the BJP government came to power in India, talks between India and Pakistan essentially went into a stalemate, and there was a lot of hostility that kept rising between the two countries. Now, we were very keen, collectively, journalists, civil society, commentators, that this conversation between India and Pakistan restarts. One of the big things that what we understand from the policy of Narendra Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, is that what he's trying to do is try to bring down the temperature around such meetings between heads of states or other key functionaries in the government between India and Pakistan, so that every meeting does not have to result in some enormous headlines. Mm. It's almost like they're trying to normalize it so that Indians and Pakistanis, even heads of state, can casually meet. After all, we are neighbors, right?
And I suppose the look of it is you do have to be quite good friends to just drop in for a state visit unannounced, don't you?
Indeed. Because one of the big problems of India-Pakistan meetings have been that they're so burdened with history that huge headlines have to come out every time they meet. And from what I understand from my contact within the Prime Minister's office, the idea is to bring down that temperature, to say that, look, we are neighbors, and hopefully one day we will be friends. We're not friends at the moment, for sure, but hopefully one day we will be. Let's meet casually. Let us not be burdened so much with history that every time major headlines have to come out of these meetings. So there is this, you know, there is almost a subcontinental bonhomie that the two heads of state are trying to push. Narendra Modi went to Pakistan, got some presents for them, attended a wedding. It's what South Asians do. So I think there is this level, this personal touch, this intimacy, which brings a much needed warmth in the extremely bitter and acrimonious relationship between India and Pakistan.
Oh, we'll have to leave it there. Hindal Singh Gupta, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Hindal Singh Gupta, a writer, journalist and editor-at-large of Fortune India.